Job 14. Job continues, "Man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and is cut down. He also flees like a shadow and doesn't continue. Do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me into judgment with you? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and you've appointed his bounds that he can't pass. Look away from him, that he may rest, until he shall accomplish as a hireling his day." Well, here I think Job's pretty low. You know, if you drew a graph of Job's faith, it does go up and down, as it does for all of us. When the friends have been saying to him, "Hey, you're suffering because you've sinned, and if you were righteous, you'd get blessed," he quite rightly says to them, "Well, no, that's not the case. The wicked prosper, and the righteous are not immediately blessed." And now I'm afraid their wrong reasoning has started to rub off on him, because he's sort of saying to God, "Look, okay, so I'm suffering because I've sinned. Well, no, that wasn't the case, but I'm afraid the friends have worn him down at this point." He's saying, "Yeah, okay, so who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. So, okay, I'm just an unclean man, and I'm just mortal, so just leave me alone. Why are you telling me that I've got to suffer because I've sinned?" Well, no, God hadn't said that. And he says, "There is hope for a tree if it's cut down, that it will sprout again, that the tender branch of it will not cease. Though its root grows old in the earth and its stock dies in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and put forth boughs like a plant. But man dies and is laid low. Yes, man gives up the spirit, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea and the river wastes and dries up, so man lies down and doesn't rise. Until the heavens are no more, they shall not awake nor be roused out of their sleep." Well, he's here saying, "Look, God, why are you making me suffer so much? I'm only mortal. I'm going to die. And when you're dead, there's no resurrection." But in chapter 19, he's very clear that there will be a resurrection. And his thought sort of develops through the book. He thinks, "Look, I'm suffering when I'm innocent, and the wicked are prospering, and yet God is just. So there must be a future day of resurrection and judgment. There must be." And he comes to believe that. But at this point in his depression, as he's still reasoning towards that, he thinks there is no resurrection. So you can see his faith bouncing up and down, his understanding bouncing up and down. And that is what happens. And at the end of it, God says that Job was a good man, that he spoke about him what was right, when he like at times like this, he doesn't. And I think it shows that God takes the overall direction in a person's life, and that's what he judges us on. And we must cut some slack to other people who are clearly in a low moment in their life and not expect absolute perfection from people all the time, because we all go up and down. Job did, and you and I do. "Oh, that you, God, would hide me in Sheol, in the grave, that you would keep me secret until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my warfare would I wait until my release should come. You would call and I would answer you. You would have a desire to the work of your hands. But now you number my steps. Don't you watch over my sin?" Well, he seems to be saying, "I really wish there would be a resurrection. I really wish that you would someday call and I would answer to you in the future, and that you would resurrect me and actually have a desire towards me as the work of your hands." Well, he then comes by chapter 19 to the point where he says, yes, there will be a resurrection. But at the moment, he's still reasoning his way towards that. "But now you number my steps. Don't you watch over my sin? My disobedience is sealed up in a bag. You fasten up my iniquity." Well, wait a minute. God has said at the beginning that Job is an upright man, and that he is being moved by the adversary, the Satan, to destroy Job without cause. And yet the friends have said, now you're suffering because you sinned. And Job says to them, no, that's not so. The wicked prosper, and the righteous are not immediately rewarded. But now he has been worn down to feeling that I'm suffering because I sinned. So although he rejects what the friends say, you can see that it's worn off on him. The same with us. Even when people tell us things that we know aren't true, we can still pick up false guilt from them, because this is the power of words. He says, the mountain falling comes to nothing, the rock is removed out of its place, the waters wear away the stones. I think he's saying that bit by bit, even a great mountain is worn down by a river eroding it. The torrents of it wash away the dust of the earth, and so you destroy the hope of man. Well, that's how he feels in depression, but by chapter 19 he's saying that no, I will be resurrected and I will see God in the end. You forever prevail against man and he departs. You change his face and send him away. His sons come to honour and he doesn't know it. They are brought low, but he doesn't perceive it about them. But his flesh on him has pain and his soul within him mourns. So this is Job at a very, very low point where his faith is very low. And you can see then how faith does go up and down. One of the great things about the kingdom that I look forward to is that we won't have these low moments, that then we shall be forever with the Lord, and faith will be turned to sight.